Are we good? I guess so. Hi. I didn't know there was that many people sitting behind me. Man, might have to preach on something. It's good to be here. It's good to be reminded that I had the official dirtbag message a couple of years ago, the conference. So that was great. I'm glad to be here once again. And we've gone through a few trials and tribulations back home, and I want you guys to know something, that what we've gone through did not bring us down. Matter of fact, what we went through strengthened us, and I would say refocused us on why we're here anyway. I mean, it's easy to get your eyes off onto other things, but it showed that life is awfully short, and you don't know when it's coming. But it also showed that God can work in spite of the problems that we go through. And He has really blessed us, and you know, it's amazing that we've lost some people. We've gained people. And so that's very encouraging. And like Steve alluded to earlier, we've been in one building for a number of years, and we began construction on our what will be called the sanctuary, bank statement there and all. And we're going to work on having a conference there. Matter of fact, Donald, somewhere out here, and I are kind of doing the tape measurement right now of this room to see how many people we can get in our room. When that comes to fruition, I'm sure we'll send out notices and all to you guys, and hopefully you'll come down to Cajun country and enjoy some Cajun food. I've noticed concerning the conferences that most of the conferences are held between, I'd say, roughly January and October, and by the time October gets here, the conferences are done, so I don't see you guys too often, except our locals that made it up here. But I won't see you guys till probably next year, Lord willing. And so since I won't see you at Christmas, I'd like to tell everyone except Barry Hampton, Merry Christmas. Rosh Hashanah to you. No. Or whatever that holiday is. And there are people laughing that weren't even here. Come on, you don't know what I'm talking about. No, but anyhow, it's good to be here. I don't want to take up too much time. There's another speaker, and I believe there's some other stuff going on tonight. And I appreciate you guys' attendance. And I told Steve, you may want to have that collection before I preach, but anyhow. Tell you what, let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to gather in your Son's name. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your Word and the fact that you preserved it unto this day. And I pray that you'd open our eyes to the truth thereof. You grant me the grace to preach it clearly and precisely so that we can all see your will and desire for us today. We pray most of all that the cross of Christ will be manifested here at the conference, and anyone lost would see that salvation is through your Son who loved us by giving himself on the cross, dying for our sins, being buried, and you raised him the third day. And Lord, we thank you for all things that we have, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I was thinking, and I just want to mention too, by the way, I have to thank Steve for the having the conference. I know it is a lot of work. He was alluding to it earlier, but I appreciate the fact that he and the whole assembly here has worked so diligently to put this on. And matter of fact, my appreciation so great, Steve, I got a gift for you. I'd like to give to you a little bit later on, if that's okay. Yeah, you wait. All right. No. All righty. Do you have the air conditioner on, or is it just me? Oh, boy, that's bad news. David writes in the Psalm, about the Word of God being pure words and tried like silver tried in a furnace seven times. I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. I don't believe there's errors in here. I don't think it's man's best attempt to write what God wants written down. I think it's God's writing from Genesis through Revelation with no mistakes. The only problem is those of us that try to convey it, we struggle with it, you know, being diligent in study and things of that nature. But as far as the book, it's pure. There's no error in the King James Bible. It'd be interesting to note, I was talking to Sean earlier, and he was throwing out some statistics about churches, and I don't have the statistic, I'm sorry about that, but be interesting to note, how many churches in this country today use a King James Bible? I watch the God Channel and all those others, and there's very few that use the King James Bible. Talk about the apostasy. You get away from the King James Bible, you're going into apostasy. And that's where we're headed. So I want you to understand before I get started that I don't question this book. Maybe I can't convey the message clear enough, but I do not contest its truth and all. So I thought, what would be the best subject matter to preach on, the most easiest? And I came up with the thought of, oh, you guys in the back. I can't even write. Huh? What? I am so nervous right now, I can't even breathe. I'm telling you. I got a stage presence that is like a cat over water. And I got to fight it. Every time I do it, I got to fight it at the conferences. And my wife always tells me, well, you didn't act or look nervous. There's a rainforest inside of these clothes right now. You understand?
Okay, you're done. You can leave.
Thank you.
Let me fix this back here.
I won't be all right? Much of it, yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's good.
Can you reach that all right?
Does it really matter?
No.
Okay.
You can move that chair back.
But anyhow, we're well learned in the fact that when Jesus Christ came into this world, that He came as a king, and that He was called and sent to Israel. And in so doing, He had disciples following Him throughout His ministry. And you can make note of that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find out about His ministry in those Gospels. But I want you to note some things about the ministry there. For instance, look in Matthew chapter 4. Now we're going to turn and just look at some passages real quick in Matthew chapter 4. Keeping in mind that the apostles and there were disciples that had followed Jesus Christ through His ministry here, they were with Him in Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, I'm just interested in that one verse because there's something that it says there. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues. Now, with that in mind, turn to Matthew chapter 9. Once again, just use one verse here. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So we see Him going into the synagogues, Him going into the cities teaching. Look over, look in John chapter 7. in John 7, verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And for the preachers and teachers in here, you ever get accused of that? I mean, several times I've been asked, well, what seminary did you go to? And I tell them the school of hard knocks. I mean, you can learn something that way. But it's the same thing here. Jesus Christ goes into the temple and he taught. He went into the cities and he taught. Let's try one more. Go to chapter 8, John 8. Verse 1, Jesus went in the Mount of Olives. And verse 2, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And then he goes on, and they bring a woman that was caught in adultery before him. I'm trying to make you see a point here. Jesus Christ went into cities, he went into the synagogues, and he taught. It's interesting to note that when just those few passages that I pulled out doesn't say what he taught. I mean, it didn't. The scripture doesn't have a word by word account of what he taught when he went in the cities and what he taught when he went into those synagogues. It's not written down. Now I want you to understand, the disciples were with him at that time. The disciples were following him, listening to everything that he was saying. But not everything was written down in the scripture that he said. Not everything is recorded that Jesus Christ did. Matter of fact, turn to John chapter 21. Look in verse 24. John 21, verse 24. This is the disciple which testified these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now watch. And there were also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. It tells you how busy Jesus Christ was. It tells you how much preaching and teaching that he did. And the scripture in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John does not write down everything that he had to say. I'm sure there were people that came up to him in these cities and in the synagogues and asked him questions. You don't have that written down. And he answered them. You don't have that written down. But the disciples heard all this because they're with him. They're following him. But God didn't write all these things down. Now I'm not saying this in the sense of the Word of God has come up short. That somebody didn't write and complete the things that God would have them to complete. What God did was write down in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John enough for us to comprehend the ministry of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't enough what's written down in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the disciples. The disciples had to carry out everything that Jesus Christ taught. They had to teach everything that Jesus Christ taught. So God, for us, wrote down the things for us in this time frame for us to comprehend the ministry of Jesus Christ, to see His ministry. But for those disciples, those that were to carry on the ministry after His death, they had to teach everything, both what we can read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those things He taught in the cities that aren't written down. Now, obviously, what He taught in the cities that aren't written down don't contradict what is written down. And it's not like God left something out that was very important. But there was teaching that went on. Just like there were miracles, according to John 20, verse 25 that we read, that Jesus did. That's not written down in the books, for I suppose that if they were all written in books, the world itself could not contain the books. So there's a lot that went on that's not written down in the Scripture. That's because we don't have to carry out this ministry. The disciples do. The apostles had to carry it out. So how in the world were they able to carry this thing out? You know, in Acts chapter 4, John, and look over there. Before I lose myself here. Peter and John. In Acts chapter 4, we're just going to grab this verse. Look what the Lord's dealing with here, just to give you an idea. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They were ignorant and unlearned men. Therefore, the ministry of Jesus Christ that had to be carried out in all things that He taught, how were these men going to do that? Well, the answer is found in John. Turn back to John and look back in John chapter 14. In John 14, look in verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now go down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, now watch this, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Therefore, all of the teaching that Jesus Christ did, everything in there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that we can read, and all the teaching that He taught in those cities, that it just says He went into this city, He went into this synagogue and taught. All of those things were by the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, giving them the power, the capability to bring to remembrance all those things that He taught. They had that ability, and Peter utilized it in what's called the Great Pentecostal Address. I mean, people envision Peter standing up there and go, ye men of, what's that word? Israel. Oh, ye men of Israel. No, he's not reading that. It's the Holy Ghost speaking through him and bringing out verses out of Joel and things of that nature and out of Psalm, and he's just preaching it. All things brought to his remembrance. They were granted that power. Why? Because the ministry of Jesus Christ had to be carried on. You see, God crafted this book like a master craftsman in such a manner that a man today cannot go in this thing and follow Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't do it. God wrote it in a manner that you can't do it. It's amazing God's ability to stand before the world began and look down time and be able to see the devil's working before anything was ever created. And He knew that when the dispensation of grace that we're living in today would come about, the devil would try to raise up men, and he would, that would corrupt God's Word by saying, I believe in following Jesus myself. Oh, I believe in those red letters. We follow Jesus around here. The fact is, He wrote a book where you can't do it. Because not all of the teaching is there. But the disciples had to carry it out. It was their ministry. Therefore, God gave them power by the Holy Ghost to have remembrance and preach all things that Jesus Christ taught. But He didn't grant us that power. Now, there's enough written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for us to read and study and comprehend Jesus Christ's role as King, role as the Savior, His teachings, we still have teachings there, and it gives us the ability to compare that and refute that with the preachers that are out there today for filthy lucre's sake, promoting their own goal of making money
by not rightly dividing the word of truth. They're going in there, they're going in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and using this ministry to promote a doctrine that is a failure. I heard one preacher make a comment that, the old standard of, well, we believe in following Jesus and we follow Jesus. And I said, well, what about Paul? He says, well, that's kind of like a filler. You know, it just sort of fills in and it makes the Scriptures more beautiful. Well, it does do that. I mean, there's some beautiful stuff there, and we're headed there. But you see, there's something about the devil's program in following Jesus today. Well, how can you not? You're a Christian. How can you not follow Jesus? He went to the cross for you. How can you not follow Jesus? I mean, this is His words. Read that in Matthew such and such, such and such. Look what Jesus said. And they play on the people. But we're not called to take that ministry that Jesus Christ had, and we're not called to take it out into all the world. That's not for us. That's not our ministry. So what is our ministry? Well, let's compare some things. Let's look at some of the things that Paul wrote. Look in 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider what I say. That in itself goes against most of the religions out there today. Why? Because they don't consider what Paul says. I watch them on TV, and I see how many times they go into Pauline Scripture, if they go into Scripture at all. They're not considering what Paul says. They don't meditate on what Paul says. Paul says, consider what I say. You know what this is like? It's like the center of the Bible is what Paul says, and the understanding of everything else will just fall into place if you start with Paul. I've heard people say, yeah, oh, I got to witness to somebody and talk to somebody about the Lord, and they said, well, I want to read my Bible. What should I start with? And they said, oh, well, you need to start in Genesis and just read right through it. And I'm thinking, no! No! At least start in Romans and read through Paul's epistles so they can at least start in what Paul had to say. The words of Paul are just as inspired as the red letters of Jesus Christ. They're just as pure as the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Therefore, Paul said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. All the confusion in the world today, religiously speaking, comes from the fact that people don't consider what Paul says. And that's where the problem is today. You know, when I got saved, I had come out the Catholic religion, mid-teens, I got fed up with it. So I just went out there and did my thing. I was never one to go looking for a church. When I came out of that, I didn't say, well, let me try the Baptist, let me try the Presbyterian, let me try the Methodist. I was not a churchy person. I was confused by it, frustrated by it, and quite honestly didn't have a lot of interest in church and things of that nature. And so, it wasn't till I had the opportunity in Denham Springs, Louisiana, to hear the gospel, and I believed the gospel. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was presented to me how He died for my sins. He was buried and raised again the third day. And really, my first question to that is, all I have to do is believe? Yeah, that's all you have to do. I was like, hey, I'm on board with that, because I wasn't a churchy person. I wasn't going to get in a program.
So I trusted that, believed I had salvation based upon the gospel, and then started seeing the Word of God, having it taught to me rightly divided. And to do that, you have to start with Paul. Paul is the chief architect of the entirety of our faith today. If you want to be rooted and grounded in truth, you have to consider what Paul says and be raised up in that truth. And so I grew in that truth. The only reason why I'm preaching today is because I'm convicted of the truth of the Word of God. And folks, I would not be preaching if it was a religious thing. I don't want to fool with it. If this was not existent, if there was no truth, if there was no absolute Word of God, I would never step in what would ever be a church out there. But it was by seeing the gospel, and just like Paul says, coming to the knowledge of the truth. And folks, you can't do that if you're being raised up under the ministry of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're going to be confused. And you know, that thing has like bars set in front of you, and you'll find yourself never, ever, ever able to clear those bars. And that's where my frustration came. There ain't anything more powerful than the Catholic Church on setting bars in front of you. Trust me. You can't ever find yourself to be in a perfect state. It's always coming up short. It's always not quite there. You're almost there and all of this. And that's where my frustration came in. But I found out by trusting in Jesus Christ that I'm justified by His faith. I'm complete in Him. I'm forgiven of all of my sins. And that in itself floored me. I mean, I was amazed by that fact alone, because I was never told that before, you see, that all of my sins have been forgiven. So what I'm saying is Paul got Scripture for this time, this dispensation, for us, whereby we can keep it. Everything written down in Paul's writings, we can keep. God wrote it where you can follow and walk in accordance with His words if you follow Paul. You get off that beaten path and some preacher leads you down following Jesus, you'll never make it. You'll never comprehend the truth of the Word of God. If you're saved, thank God you are, but you can be totally confused. Totally confused. Paul said in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 16, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture. It's interesting to note that all Scripture. As I said at the start, I do believe that this is all Scripture, and I do believe it's all pure. But in the context, the Scripture, Paul's Scripture, Paul's writings. I challenge you. You take Romans through Philemon, those 13 books that Paul wrote, don't tear them out your Bible, but in your mind tear them out your Bible and tell me how you're going to get forgiveness. Tell me how you're going to be justified. Tell me how you're going to obtain righteousness. Tell me how you're going to be sealed until the day of redemption. Tell me how you're going to get the atonement. All of those things I just mentioned, you can only find for us Gentiles today in Paul's writings. Therefore, if you walk in that, you can be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works by walking in Paul's doctrine, comprehending what he wrote, meditating on what he had to say, and the Lord giving you understanding in all things. You know, it's interesting to note, Paul came to visions and revelations. Look over in 1 Corinthians. Look back in 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look what he says here. in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll start in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and watch this, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Now the focus there is charity. But I want you to focus on the fact that he says, and understand all mysteries. You see, Paul was given mysteries, like the mystery of the gospel, which is being hidden today. Folks, you can hide it by following Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the devil knows that that gospel is the power of God. And he doesn't want it preached. He does not want the gospel preached today. And so Paul had all mysteries, which kind of comes to this thought here. Over the years, I've had a lot of mail come my way, and I've thrown away a lot of it. And I look back and I said, you know, I wish I hadn't thrown some of that stuff away. It goes down pretty good history-wise. And I got this in the mail. I'd like to just read this, just suffer through, as they say. This is from an individual. He's over in Sri Lanka. His name is Brother David Anthony, and he sends this to me. And no, I don't know who he is. It's not like personal correspondence here. He says he's an evangelist, gospel singer, since May of 81. I provide guitar lessons for those who are interested, on and on. My territory is sharing the good news of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Sri Lanka, India, and Pakistan. Perhaps my calling is to share the gospel with all nations. On January 28, 2003, so we're going back a little ways, he says at 2:17 a.m., during my devotion. How many of you have a devotion at 2:17 a.m.? Now, I'm up at that time. I had a revelation of a huge church, praise and worship center. Now, I'm urged to share this revelation and vision with you, as you are a minister working towards the kingdom of God, and that the Lord wants me to share this. So what does he have? He's got this vision of a huge church that he wants to share. Firstly, though, the Lord revealed to me a catastrophe is to strike the USA shortly, which is going to affect the people and the economy of the country. This disaster could be averted through prayer and supplication to our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. The reason for this catastrophe to strike USA is because many Christians in USA are disconnected from God and seeking worldly solutions. Being a Christian nation, many people do not trust the Lord. Sin is growing. The fear of God is dwindling. If the people repent and get back to God, He will use the people of your country to bless other nations too. It is the duty of all God's servants to help humanity to get connected with God and develop a personal love relationship with the Almighty. So, 2003, he got a vision that we're fixing to have a big one somewhere, somehow. Secondly, I had a vision of a huge church, a prayer and worship center, surrounded by mountains and a river flowing, and is enclosed as a model of the church. So I have a model of the church in here. I asked the Lord, why'd you show me this church? And the Lord said, build this church. So I said, where, Lord? He said, in USA first. I asked the Lord, well, what state? And He told me to take a map of the USA and place my finger on it and move my finger and move it until He says stop. And He moved it across the USA and He stopped. And He was on the state of Louisiana. So the Lord wants me to build that church in your state and to fulfill the prophecy. And He goes on writing. Well, that's the thing. So I want you all to know I would like to present Brother Steve with a building project. That's your gift for the conference. He probably dragged his whole hand and the little fingers on Louisiana, but his index was on Tennessee. Oh, isn't it amazing the revelations that people get of God? We were talking, Steve was bringing up earlier about that little voice speaking. Folks, you can surmise anything about God. But if you want to understand God and what He has for us today, consider what Paul says, and He'll give you understanding in all things. That's the only way you can do it. You know, we have gotten, we've gone on TV now in Baton Rouge. Well, we've been on a while now, and you just hope, you know, people watch, I guess. You know, and I've noticed that I've gone out in different areas of town, and for instance, I have a paper route, and I have a hospital on my route, and I have machines in there. Well, there's a Subway sandwich shop in there. In the hospital, so I go in there and I empty these machines, take the coins out and stuff. Well, the manager of the Subway, an African-American woman, asked me if I could trade out some quarters. She needs some quarters because they always run short on quarters. So I said, sure, it's no problem. So I'd roll the quarters, you know, and then go back the next time and I'll trade out the quarters. Well, I go in there and there's the manager and they got that little counter there and it's about three or four of the other, you know, black girls back there. And, I mean, this thing is like no bigger than what I'm on right here. And people just packed up in it. So I go in there and one of the girls over here goes, "You be on TV?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, I told y'all, I never forget a face. He's the one on TV. I heard you preaching. That's some good preaching." I said, "Well, thank you. Continue to tune in, would you please?" I went back a couple weeks later, and the manager back there, she goes, "I want you to know, I couldn't make it to my church Sunday, but I watched you on TV. I sure enjoyed that. I really enjoyed it." I said, "Well, continue to watch." And I, you know, and you just make these headways into things. And, you know, it's just amazing. We went out to a little pizza place in town and, my wife's brother was there with a cousin whom we rarely ever see. And, you know, it's all crowded and noisy. And, see, I go in there and I say, "Oh, hey, Rick, how you doing?" He goes, "Man, I saw you on TV." I'm like, "Whoa, it's getting out there." And he said, "Boy, I enjoy that." I said, "Well, thank you." He said, "And I want you to know the way you use that board when you preach, it helps me see all these things. It helps break it down. It helps me understand. I can follow you." I said, "Well, you continue watching." Now, I've called him since and I haven't gotten in touch with him. Just one of those things in passing. But that's one of those work in progress, you know. But you just get the word out there. You know, you just preach the word. And it's going to have a response. You know, God knows that there's people out there that if you preach the gospel, they will believe. I'm an example of it. And when Steve said, I forgot how the question was, "Are you saved in there or how many are saved?" It was a roar. I'm like, "Well, I must not be preaching to any lost people at that volume." But I don't take that for granted. Because you may have been in my same shoes. What is that? Frustrated, lost. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ came into this world for one purpose, to save sinners. That's the only reason why He came into this world. And that applies to everybody born into this world because we're all sinners. He died for your sins. He was buried and He was raised again. And all you have to do is put your trust, your belief in what He did, and God will forgive you all your sins. It's that simple. That's why I got involved in church. That's why I got involved in the study. I was convinced of the truth and excited about my salvation. So I want everyone in here to examine your hearts. I don't know a lot of you. Examine your heart. see if there was ever a point in time in your life that you've trusted in Jesus Christ. And if there hadn't been, do so. Right here, right now. Don't wait for the next preacher. Not that Tracy isn't good, but just don't do it. You're not guaranteed to make it to the next minute.
That's right.
Do so. That's all I have.
Thank you.